mikvah. We don't have to do the sacrifices. In fact, we can't do the sacrifices in Judaism anymore because there's no functioning temple. But we have the Lord. And we talked about that last night. But today, what I want to talk about is a traditional topic that is discussed at Yom Kippur. And it is, there's different times of the year where we talk about different prophets and different things. On this day, specifically on the Yitzkor service, on the morning service for Yom Kippur, what we do is we talk about the prophet Jonah. And today I'm going to be talking about the prophet Jonah, which is he's a minor prophet. You may have read the book. It's like a few chapters long. You probably know the story better than you read the book. Jonah was swallowed by the whale 3 days, and then God spit him back up because he was told to go preach to Nineveh. That's what we're going to be talking about today, and you'll see there's a connection to Yom Kippur. It's not always obvious at first what the connection is, but as we dig into Jonah today, we're going to see why the sages, why the rabbis have picked Jonah, specifically Jonah, for this time period. As I said, it's typically done in the morning service, or even in the afternoon service, which is called the Mincha service, in traditional Judaism. Now Jonah, and you can turn to the book of Jonah because we're going there today. Basically, we're going to be centered in the book of Jonah, although we have some other scriptures. And as always, all the scriptures are going to be on the screen. And if you don't like my translation, I'm using the ESV. You have translations in front of you. There's a million translations. That's the wonderful thing. And I'm going to be reading from ESV, but basically the book of Jonah, we're going to start out right at the beginning, chapter 1. But just a little bit of background. Jonah was a Jewish prophet of God. Jonah lived at the time period where there was two kingdoms. There was a fractured state of Israel. It was fractured. After Solomon, there was a prophecy and the tribes split. Remember the 12 tribes of Israel. The 10 northern tribes were one, and the two southern tribes were another. And they were warring against each other maybe at different times. In fact, at some points, they made alliances with other pagan nations against the other Israelite nation. It's amazing, against their brothers and sisters. Because remember, Israel was set up as very tribal. That's how the land was originally settled, as far as tribes. And so what we have here is Jonah was a Jewish prophet. Now, there was prophets for both houses at this point. Jonah was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. There was other prophets that were prophets to the southern kingdom of Judah. But Jonah was a Jewish prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, and he lived in the 8th century BCE, or about 800 years before Yeshua. He lived from about 800 to 750 BCE. And that's significant. The reason why I'm telling you all that is it's significant for a reason in a minute that I'll get to. But Jonah lived at that time. He was part of the northern kingdom, and he prophesied largely to the northern kingdom. That's who he was sent to. He also lived at the time of the prophets Hosea and Amos. Hosea and Amos, specifically. Let's read Jonah chapter 1, 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, you have to understand geography to understand what's going on here. So he's in the northern kingdom of Israel, and he goes down to Joppa to board a ship. Joppa is a city in northern Israel today. It's called Jaffa or Joppa, and it's a seaport city in Israel today. It's a very old and ancient city. If you go there, there's ruins, but that's where he was. So he went to the nearest seaport he had, which is in northern Israel, and God told him to go to Nineveh, which is a separate city in a separate country, not part of Israel, a pagan nation. But he wants to flee, and this, he probably got on the first ship he could find, because this one was going to Tarshish, and that was most likely in southern Spain. So that's where the ship was going, of all places. So he's like, I don't care, as long as it's not Nineveh, I'll go anywhere you want. So he boarded the first one, I think, and he wanted to set sail to Tarshish. Why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? And we don't have time today to get into the whole thing and go through the entire book. I wish we did. But we're going to hit the highlights. And most of you know the story, like I said. But Nineveh was problematic for Jonah for a few reasons. Nineveh was, first, a Gentile city. It was a non-Jewish city. Remember, he's a Jewish prophet. He's called to the northern kingdom of Israel. Jonah was Jewish, and perhaps he felt uncomfortable going to this pagan nation. After all, they're not following you, Lord. My people are following you. Send me to my people. So maybe he had an issue with that. Most likely he did. Maybe he was afraid to go to a Gentile city like that because they weren't necessarily on friendly terms. So he was maybe worried for his safety. Who knows? Second thing is Jonah didn't really care about Nineveh, most likely. He wasn't really concerned about them. You know, when you're in your own culture and you're in your own city or your own place, you don't really worry about other places. You think about your little world and what you have. So Jonah was in his little world, and he really didn't care about Nineveh, probably. They were foreign to him. They wanted nothing to do with the Lord. Why should he bother with them? And he really didn't care because he had other matters to deal with in Israel. But also, it's probably because Jonah thought that they didn't deserve to repent. Because remember what the Lord says. He says, go to that great city, Nineveh, call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. So Jonah knew that God was a compassionate and merciful God because he'd experienced it, he had seen it, and he knew if Nineveh listened to him that they would repent and that God would not have any calamity fall on them. And it probably bothered him a lot because they don't deserve it. Have you ever said that? Man, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Or they've done some horrible things to me. They don't deserve to be forgiven, Lord. They don't even deserve the opportunity to repent. Look at all the bad they've done. So Jonah was playing God, basically. And we do this too. But he didn't want to deal with it because what if the outcome was that they got forgiven? But there is, I think, also a fourth reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And this is very prophetic, this reason. Nineveh was a very powerful city at the time. Nineveh was a very powerful city in the ancient world. But at this point, Scripture says that it was in a weakened state, meaning it was powerful and then some things happened and it was temporarily weak. Temporarily weak. Okay? And it was to become more powerful again. It was actually to rise up after this and become the capital city in a very important country. And that country was Assyria. Nineveh was to become the capital of Assyria. And this is very significant as to why Jonah was reluctant to go to Assyria. Okay? Assyria was a world power at this time in history, and it was a very ruthless city. But as I said, 2 Kings, you can check it out. 2 Kings 14, 23 through 25 says it was in a temporarily weak state. But remember when I said he was a contemporary, Jonah was, of Amos and Hosea. Well, they prophesied about Assyria to Israel. And they said, Amos said, there would be a day of judgment for Israel. Hosea says even further that the aggressor against Israel will be Assyria. This is a prophecy. This is yet to happen. So you can understand why Jonah was reluctant to go there. A few years after Jonah, remember, Jonah lived 800 to 750 BCE. He was a contemporary of these other prophets. He most likely heard their prophecies. I don't know if, you know, prophets went to hang out or whatever, but he probably heard about them. He probably, like, traded notes with them, and he's like, well, yeah, God wants me to go here, but where are you supposed to go? Well, I'm supposed to go tell Israel to repent because Assyria is going to come and really do some horrible things to them. Because they're ruthless. So Jonah most likely knew. Jonah died in about 750 BCE. Significantly, what happened is in 722 BCE, less than 30 years after Jonah died, the northern kingdom of Israel fell to Assyria. And it would be never to be heard from again. And there's all this speculation. Who were the 10 lost tribes? What's going on? We know that in 722, the Israelites, the northern kingdom that Jonah was a prophet to, went into exile, were killed in mass and basically were dispersed. And what had happened is, if you read through 2 Kings, what happened was Assyria, ruthless but also very cunning, they brought in a lot of pagans from Assyria, settled them in the northern kingdom. And so there was this mixture of the Jews that were left, which were usually the poor Jews that had to till the land and leave the land for them. And then you had a bunch of Assyrians, and you had all this mix coming up. And then, of course, the Samaritans were from that area, so they were most likely influenced by all of that. So Jonah didn't want to go, because he knew these were the same people that were going to send his kingdom, his family, his sphere of influence, his little world into exile. He must have heard about the prophecies, and he knew. So he was very reluctant to go. But, you know, when God tells you to do something, even though it's crazy, even though you don't understand it, you're still supposed to do it. And Jonah was disobeying the Lord. No, good things didn't happen to Jonah because he disobeyed the Lord. We know he got swallowed by the fish because God really wanted him to go, and he didn't listen. And he, in fact, eventually did go. He eventually did go. He preached to the people of Nineveh. He told them to stop. And what do? They put on sackcloth and ashes, which is the traditional mourning ritual that you go through when you are remorseful. Back in ancient times, you put on sackcloth and ashes. You repented, and God will hear your cry, and God heard their cry. And it was a city of, it says, about 120,000 people. And so there's lessons that can be learned today on Yom Kippur from this prophet Jonah. The things that Jonah did and did not do right, we can learn from. And that's why the rabbis picked this prophet to talk about on Yom Kippur, because it has special significance. Number one, we cannot run from God. This is what we need to understand. Jonah tried to run from God. He thought he knew better than God. He thought, God, you must not mean there. Maybe you said something wrong. Maybe I got the translation wrong between you and I, but that can't be what you said. So Jonah decided to run. But we know we cannot run from God. Let's look at Jonah 1, 3, and 4. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, the port city, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. So Jonah thought he could outrun the Lord. He thought, well, maybe God's not going to notice that I didn't listen to him and that I boarded this ship. And what does he do? He goes in the ship, but he goes underneath in the as far away as he can get from the light of day. And he's there and he's trying to go to sleep. He just wants to shut out the world and shut out the Lord. He wants to get to the farthest corner he can physically from the Lord. And I think, you know, a lot of times we can learn from this, and I know the rabbis put this in here for this reason, is we cannot run God, and we think we can. We go around saying, or we go around thinking, well, God's not going to see that. You know, I did the Al-Khet and all these sins I committed publicly and privately. So maybe there's some sins privately I don't want to deal with, and maybe God will look past them. Maybe he won't notice that I did this one particular thing. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's got so much to worry about in the world that he's not going to think about little old me. That's what Jonah thought. He said, God's got enough to worry about. I'm just going to go over here and just pretend I'm not here. We do that too, but God sees us and God knows. Let's look at Psalm 11:4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see and his eyelids test the children of man. So his eyes see us. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So God's eyes are everywhere, even in the inside of that boat, looking at Jonah. God, you cannot get away from the Lord. And Jonah thought he was getting away from the Lord. And sometimes we in our lives think, well, God's not going to see that, or he'll overlook that, or I can just go away from the Lord. But it's not true. You cannot run from God. Number two, God is sovereign. We may not like the Lord's decisions in life, but he calls the shots. He gets to call the shots. Jonah didn't like the decision, didn't think it was right for various reasons that we talked about, and he thought he knew better. But you know what? God is sovereign, and he has a plan, and he has a decision. And sometimes when he tells us to do something that seems crazy or stupid or not right, we only see the next step ahead of us, as I've said before. But God sees around the corner, down the street, in the next town. He knows there's five or six steps to where when we start here and go five or six steps, then we'll say, ah, I realize why you said that, God. Oh, I realize why you said that about going to Nineveh, God. But sometimes we don't want to go. But God is sovereign. He knows better than us. And to not listen is to not trust the Lord. Many people say it's not fair what happens in life to me. You know, all these problems happened, and Jonah said, oh, you're asking me to do this. And, you know, maybe Jonah had a foot condition or something. I don't know. Maybe he was really hurting. He just had some minor outpatient surgery, and he didn't want to go. You know, there could have been a million reasons why he didn't want to go. Maybe he had a tummy ache. I mean, but he didn't want to go, but God said to go. And we need to remember that there's things that are not fair, seemingly, in our life, at least as far as we're concerned. But God sees, God knows, and we have to trust God that he's sovereign and he's got the full picture for us. God rarely, if ever, I'd say, I'm going to go that strongly and say, if ever, shows us the full picture of our life and what we're supposed to do. What he does is he gives us those breadcrumbs for the next step. Because if I saw all the things going on in my life ahead of me, I would have such stress, you know, I'd have such trouble, I'd have such anxiety. I'm already prone to a little bit of neurotic, brain activity already. So I would get all freaked out because I know 2 weeks from now, oh my gosh, I'm going to stub my toe or something worse could happen. We don't need to see the full picture. We need to see what's right in front of us, and God is going to be that lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But he's not going to illuminate all the way with that lamp. It's not time, but he'll do it. We have to trust the Lord. Number three, we need to obey God. Jonah didn't obey God. It's obvious. That's a no-brainer. No matter if it makes sense or not, we need to obey the Lord. 1 Samuel 15:22, great scripture. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So God values obedience better than sacrifice. You know, Israel was called upon to do the sacrifices. And at this Yom Kippur, when there was the tent of meeting and even the temple when they were in Israel, what would happen is once a year, Aaron and then the following high priests, one person, the high priest, would go in and atone for the sins on Yom Kippur of the people for the year. And this was important. And then there were sacrifices throughout the year that had to happen. And it was required. It was important. We had to do it. But God is saying even more than that, it's better to obey. When we don't understand, when it doesn't make sense, we need to go to Nineveh. When it doesn't make sense, when your family tells you you're nuts for believing in this Jesus person, okay? When your Jewish family wants to disown you because you believe in this Mishigas stuff, this crazy stuff. We need to obey God. God's got the full picture. God understands. He knows what's going on with us, and we need to obey him if it makes sense or not, because obedience is more highly valued than sacrifice, and we know how important sacrifice is. Lastly, number four, and this is the prevailing reason why the rabbis have picked Jonah. All people are worthy of forgiveness. No matter how bad we are, no matter what crazy things we've done, no matter whatever, we are still worthy of God's forgiveness. And also, it's important to remember that God cares about everybody, not just Jewish people. And this is why the rabbis were saying this, is because it's not just the Day of Atonement for Jewish people, and it's not just all this wonderful stuff that we do in Judaism for Jewish people, but God wants all people to come to his forgiveness, all people to repent. It talks about it throughout the book of Isaiah. It talks about it in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Tanakh, that God wants all men to come before him and all men to repent, just as he wants that pagan, ruthless city Nineveh to repent and come to him. He wants the worst of us to come to him. How many of us were terrible people before the Lord caught a hold of us? How many of us cursed his name? How many of us did terrible things to other people? How many of us did all those sins that we listed tonight, or this morning in Al-Chet, and last night? But God cares about us, and God cares about the Jew as well as the non-Jew. Luke 5:32. A central part of Yeshua's ministry was going to the unlovable and the unworthy and the sinners and the tax collectors. Luke 5:32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here's the little secret that we don't realize that the Pharisees didn't get. Some of them did, but some of them didn't. That everybody's a sinner. If you think you've got it together, if you're going around and you're a Pharisee in Yeshua's time and you're looking all good and you pay your temple tax and you go to the synagogue and you do your acts of charity, everybody's a sinner. There's something that you've done as one of those sins in Al-Chet. There's something. And what Yeshua was trying to get everybody to see was that we all are in need of a Savior. We all are in need of repentance. And we all need an atoning sacrifice, not just the ungodly or the unrighteous. When the priest went into Yom Kippur and offered that sacrifice for the sins of the people of Israel, it was for the good people of Israel and also the not-so-good people of Israel. It was the people that were doing everything right, except for maybe a couple of things, and the people that were doing everything wrong, except for a couple of things right. It was for everybody. He's not called the righteous, but sinners, because we're all unrighteous. He makes us righteous. Jonah didn't think the Ninevites were worthy of God's forgiveness. We don't sometimes think people are worthy of our forgiveness, but the central message of the book of Jonah, the central message of Yom Kippur that we want to say in this time is that God cares for all people. He cares for you. He cares for me. He cares for all Israel. He cares for all Savannah, and he cares for the entire world. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God, God of Israel, we thank you and we love you. We thank you that you're patient with us. Lord, whether we've been pretty good, really good, not so good, it doesn't matter, Lord God. We should always strive to be the best we can. But Lord, we know that at our very best, we are unclean. We at our very best, we're like dirty rags, as Isaiah says. So Lord, we know we need that atoning sacrifice. We know we are sinners and we need that forgiveness for you. And I pray on this Yom Kippur, Lord God, that you would bring people to an understanding, Jew and Gentile in this area, an understanding of you, God, an understanding and an enlightening of what you ask for, Lord God, what your heart is, and that you want all men and women to come to you, Lord, with forgiveness and to accept that sacrifice that you gave 2,000 years ago. We praise you and we thank you, God. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.